Everybody all right today? Good. I like to see smiles. They got something that'll put a smile on your face. A homemade joke right here. Right here. There was an elderly man lay dying in his bed. It'll get better, promise. Elderly man lay dying in his bed. Suddenly death's agony was pushed aside as he smelled the aroma of his favorite homemade chocolate chip cookies wafting up the stairs. Gathering his remaining strength, he lifted himself up from the bed, leaning against the wall. He slowly made his way out of the bedroom and with intense concentration supported himself down the stairs, gripping the railing with both hands. In labored breath, he leaned against the doorframe, gazing wide-eyed into the kitchen. There, spread out on the kitchen table, were literally hundreds of his favorite chocolate chip cookies. Was it heaven? Or was it one final act, heroic love from his devoted wife, seeing to it that he left this world a happy man? Mustering one great final effort, he threw himself towards the table, landing on his knees in a rumpled posture. One hand on the edge of the table, the aged, withered hand quiveringly made its way to the cookie near the edge of the table, feeling the warm, soft dough actually made the pain of his bones subside for a moment. His parched lips parted. The wondrous taste of the cookie was already in his mouth, seemingly bringing him back to life. What then was this sudden stinging caused by his hand to recoil? He looked to see his wife still holding the spatula and see just as it smacked his hand. "Stay out of those," she said. "They're for the funeral." Well, I thought it was funny. Now we need chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. Or peanut butter cookies. Moving on. Hey, we're glad to be here with you. We have something that I believe will bless you. We invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. This is my favorite part of the week, to get together with you and break open the Word. I tell you, anytime I open the Bible, every single morning as I study and read, you know, I believe to see something I've never seen before. So how many of you know you can read scriptures day in and day out, but all it takes is just one moment of seeing something you've never seen before, and it can happen. Amen. And so we believe every time we open the Word, that's what happens. We're going to start here in Philippians. Know this, and I like to always point this out because sometimes it helps to understand when you're reading Scripture to understand a little bit of background. But Philippians is often referred to as one of the happiest books of the Bible. You ever read through Philippians and thought, man, this just makes me happy? Well, people call it one of the happiest books of the Bible, and yet, who knows where it was written from? It was written from prison. Yeah, it was written from prison. Paul in chains. In fact, Paul is writing to the believers at Philippi, and he's given instructions, as you read it from beginning to end, he's given instructions how to walk in unity. He's in essence saying that real joy and real unity are possible. Boy, I love that, don't you? And so here in Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse number 1, it says, if there's any consolation in Christ or any encouragement in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill my joy. Fulfill my joy. I like one translation. It says that Paul is saying, you know what make me happy? I like that. So he says, you know what make me happy? That you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, and let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, that is, through prideful agendas. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also of the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know what make me happy? That you be like-minded. That you walk in one accord, that you be unified. Amen. So he says, fulfill my joy. Fulfill my joy. You know, I like one time I saw, because there's a lot of definitions for the word joy, just like there's, you know, a lot of different ways you can describe a lot of words. But I saw one person put this, joy in the Hebrew is a Hebrew word for brighten up. Brighten up. He says, you know what, brighten my day? That you get along, that you walk in unity. And so understand this, if you allow Satan to steal your joy, it's not very likely that you will see many victories in your life. And so that's why it's important to make sure that you maintain your joy, that you don't get agitated with others, because all it does is just open the door. Psalm 118:15 says, "Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous." That is, that it echoes. And so there ought to be a sound of victory and joy in our house. Why? Because it's a shout of victory. It's a shout of man, things are, we're getting along here. You ever walked in a house when you knew there was just some contention and some kind of strife, or maybe you knew some words have been said, and man, I mean, you could just cut it with a knife. You could just cut the atmosphere with a knife. It's just so thick in there. Well, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. Well, it's sad to say, but I've heard Keith Moore say this before, we live in a generation of the chronically fatigued. Well, that's the case. Well, with the chronically fatigued, there's no joy, there's no rest, there's no peace. And we're going to see some of this tonight. But what happens is it leads to impatience with others. Miss Linda King used to give me a hard time because when I first moved here, Pastor Mark was going night fishing, and I would go with them. Well, you know, when you go night fishing, you start the day before and you don't finish until the next day. You know, it's insane. Don't recommend it for anybody. I don't know why they do it. And so back in those early days, I would go with them and him and Doug, or him and JR and Harold, whoever was going, you know, I'd go with them. And it was the most miserable time of my life. Didn't enjoy it for a moment. Good fellowship, not a good time. Well, Miss Linda would give me a hard time because I would come in the next day and she told me that I was just grouchy. I was grumpy because, you know, you go out and the plan is, like, especially this time of year, you know, the plan is to get out on the water, you know, by 6, 7, 7:30, 8 o'clock, whatever. But then you're fishing all night long, and so you come in at you know, depending on the fish and everything, coming in at 7, 8 o'clock, and so you get some hours of sleep, and then, you know, we come to work, finish out the afternoon. Well, inevitably, I'd come to work and I'd just be in a bad mood because I hadn't slept and didn't catch any fish, and it was miserable, and I didn't enjoy it, and I contemplated why I even went, and, you know, and so she just said it just put me in a bad mood. Well, it did. I didn't enjoy it at all. Well, what happens? Well, whenever you haven't had any rest, whenever you're agitated, when you know you get impatient with others, you're sharp, you know, you're not walking in love, and in fact, you're not walking in the Word. Right? You ever seen that? Look over at James chapter 3. He says something here that's interesting. Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
James chapter 3, verse number 13, says, "Who is a wise man?" Everybody say, "That's me."
Yes.
"Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, if you have strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. For this wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Well, how many of you know that's the opposite of Philippians 2:2? That you be like-minded, that you have the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Notice, confusion and every evil work. Well, there's a lot of things that could be said, but how many of you know death and disease and tragedy? Those are evil works. Well, where does it start? It starts where there's confusion. And so you could say it a number of ways, but you know, when there's strife in the home, when there's strife in the workplace, you know, there's a wide open door for the devil to cause things and cause you to have to deal with things that you never should have been dealing with to begin with. And it all starts with strife. It all starts with leaving the door open to the devil. Ephesians 4:24 through 27. Turn over there. This is a familiar passage, but I want you to see it in context here. Ephesians 4, starting with verse number 24, says, "Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Notice that. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Well, how many of you know that's a state where everything can be agitating and unsettled? Whenever you're angry, whenever you're agitated, whenever you're in the middle of a wrathful situation, there's no union of plan or effort. There's no cooperation. That's not a good position to be in. You know, we were with the grandkids the other day. I was thinking about this as I was reading this and thinking about what's behind it and being agitated and unsettled and being at a state, you know, where you're arguing with somebody. And I was thinking, because Sheila put Josiah in the car the other day. And we had the grandkids and took them out and we picked them up because they were having the U thing at their house. And so we went and picked them up. And she said, well, what do y'all want to do? Well, Jeremiah said, well, you know, maybe we can go to Target and get a toy. So Sheila said, okay. He goes, really? Yeah, let's go. And so so we went to Target. We went to Chick-fil-A. We went to the Cookie Crumble. I mean, we just went everywhere a kid wants to go. We just spoiled them and took them home. Or actually, they came and picked them up. But in the process, while we were out, you know, we had to put the kids in the car seats a couple hundred times, which was a lot of fun. And so Sheila, after leaving Target, she walks around the back of the car, and she says, have you ever experienced trying to put one of the kids in there, and it's like you're fighting for your life to try to get them in the car seat? You know, it's like Josiah's leaning in as she's trying to pull the strap over this arm, and then leaning in this way, trying to pull the strap over this way, and then crunch down whenever you're trying to grab the strap that's on the bottom there. Or if you ever tried to put pajamas on a kid. You know, I don't know who decided to change the laws or whatever on this stuff, but nowadays, you know, pajamas have to fit skin tight because otherwise they're not safe for them to be in. And so, you know, these pajamas are skin tight, and so you're trying to pull them up, and in the meantime, they're fighting with you and wrestling with you, and you've got them on the ground. And, well, I mean, there's a lot of contention there. You know, you love your kids, you love your grandkids, but there's a lot of contention there. Well, I was thinking about this. You know, when you're angry to the point that it causes dissension amongst the group there, you know, you're agitated. Well, things are unsettled. There's no plan. There's no cooperation. Well, how many of you know that's a difficult position to be in? And so, you know, all love and harmony has disappeared. Evil passions tend to mar the peace of the community. No progress can be expected. That's the thing I want you to realize about all of this. When you're walking in one accord with somebody and you're on the same page and you're of like mind and you're pulling the same direction, progress can be made. But when you're pulling against each other, you're not there for each other, you're in the middle of strife and discontentment, no progress can be made. Nothing can be accomplished. Paul says this, speaking to the church at Corinth over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says this, and it really applies here. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 1. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. For I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able. For you are yet carnal, for there is among you envying, strife, divisions. For are you not carnal and walk as mere men? That's interesting, isn't it? Are you not carnal and walk as mere men? And so Paul calls this, you know, when there's strife and division, he calls this carnal. Well, you're there in 1 Corinthians. Look over at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. What do you mean carnal? Well, verse number 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You know, to be carnal means to be fleshy. That's what it means by definition. So they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be, watch this, to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. Yeah. And so know this, you know, you think about being at peace, the devil looks for anything that particularly gets your goat, anything that upsets you, anything that keeps you stirred up continually, anything that's frustrating, anything that leads to carnality, anything that causes you to lose it, and that's the thing that he's going to use to get you. Now, you understand this whole time that we've been talking here, We're talking about the church. Paul is addressing the church. Paul is talking to believers. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about how you ought to act in church, how you ought to act about around church people, right? Look over at Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, we're familiar with this. Of course, this is the story of Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 3, says, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Keith Moore always says, he brought fluffy. He brought the best. So the firstlings of his flock and of fat thereof, in other words, the best, the choice. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. In other words, all of a sudden Cain's depressed because the Lord took his offering, but not his. He took Abel's and accepted Abel's, but not his. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth? In other words, the Message Bible says, why are you sulking? Why are you throwing a tantrum? He says, why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? For if you do well, shall you not be accepted? For if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and unto you shall be his desire, and shall rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and he slew him. In the Message Bible, James 3:16 says, whenever you're trying to look better than the others and get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at each other's throats. Well, that's interesting. Where'd this all start from? Because of strife. Because of what the Bible calls bitter envy. Another translation calls it competitive jealousy. You know, it's unfortunate. You know, again, Paul is addressing the church here. These things ought not be in the church. In other words, these things ought not be around us as believers. There ought not be strife and contention and competitive jealousy. Because see, pride and jealousy, strife, division, they can stand in the way between you and a blessing. You better believe it. Come on now. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion or disorder, but of peace. In other words, he didn't write the book on it. So don't talk to him about it. He didn't write the book on confusion and disorder. Who did that? That's not a trick question. Who did that? I'll try that one more time. Everybody with me? Everybody all right? God didn't write the book on strife, division, confusion. Who wrote the book? The devil did. Come on now, you better get with it. This is an easy message. This is just to encourage your faith now. You're there, look over at Ezekiel 28. This is 1 + 1 = 2 tonight, okay? We're not doing algebra or anything. Ezekiel 28, starting with, start with number 13. Ezekiel 28:13 says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone was your covering. And he goes on to talk about the jewels and stuff. And he says, thou art the anointed cherub that covers. I have set you so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. For you were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your merchandise, you have filled in the midst of you with violence, for you have sinned. Therefore I will cast you out as profound out of the mountain of God, as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. For your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. You're there in Ezekiel. Look over at Isaiah 14. Sort of a continuation of this thought here. Isaiah 14. Go back to the left. Isaiah 14, verse number 12, says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Now watch this. For you have said in your heart, watch how many times he says I. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. And they that see you shall narrowly look upon you, I love this part, and consider you saying, is this the man that made the earth the tremble that did shake the kingdoms? You know, there's going to come a day when we're going to look at him and say, you're what caused all this confusion? You're what caused all this to cause the nations to shake, that made the world as the wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof and opened not the house of his prisoners. You're the one that did all this. There's going to come a day. Actually, you can just go ahead and count that day today. You can just go ahead in the middle of whatever is going on, whatever storm may be going on in your life, you can just look at him and say, you ain't got nothing. Why? Because he's already defeated. We don't have to wait for that day to say, is this the man that made the earth tremble? Because we already have that revelation that he has no power over you unless you give it to him. Right? That's why the Bible says, be angry and sin not, neither give place to the devil. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. The only way the devil has place in your life is if you give it to him. Come on now, you ought to get more excited than that. The only time is if you give it to him. Praise God. Romans 14, 17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not natural, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Listen, the things of God are supernatural. In other words, we're talking about spiritual things here. Notice, go back, you're there. Look over at Philippians 2, 2 again. I want you to see something here. We started with this thought, Philippians 2, 2. Paul says, fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. You know, the Greek word, and talking about being in one accord, literally means to be fellow-souled. To be one accord means to be fellow-souled. You see this thought in the book of Acts, as you go through the book of Acts and talking about unity and talking about being of one mind and one accord. You see this wording, one accord, about 11 times in the book of Acts alone. And so a couple of these, Acts chapter 1, verse 14, talking about being in one accord. It says, and these continued in one accord in prayer in supplication. So it talks about being in one accord in prayer. How many of you know if you're going to get together in prayer, you got to be on the same page? Well, one chapter over, Acts chapter 2, verse number 46, it says, and they continued in one accord in the temple with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, praise God, if we want to see people come to the kingdom, we need to be in one accord. Well, it says they were in one accord in the temple, that is in church, with gladness and singleness of heart. They were on the same page. They were pulling together. Amen. You're there in Acts chapter 2. Look over at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. This is talking about Peter and John. This is, of course, right after, if you go back a chapter, they're talking about dealing with the impotent man, the man that was lame from his mother's womb, the Bible tells us. And so this man was healed under their ministry. And so the Sadducees, the rulers of the temple, the Bible says, detained them. And they wanted them to quit preaching because they were getting results. People were coming to the kingdom. People were getting healed and delivered. And so they didn't like it. And so in Acts chapter 4, verse number 23, you see this. And it says, of course, they've been detained. Now they're let go here. In verse number 23, it says, and being let go, they went to their own company. See, that's who we're talking about tonight. We're talking about us. We're talking about the body of believers. Being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, your God, which made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Look down at verse number 29. And it says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word, that by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus." Now notice this. It says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Why? Because they were in one accord. For they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them, brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and the distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, by whom the apostles surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. That's a radical Christianity right there. Well, how did that happen? Well, it was because they were all in one accord. The Bible says they were all in one accord. They were pulling together. They were of one heart, of one soul. Look over at Acts chapter 8. We see another instance. This is talking about Philip. You remember, if you go back to Acts chapter 6, Philip answered the call to wait tables, right? The Bible says it says the number of disciples multiplied, and so there was some neglect because they couldn't take care of everybody. And so they said, we need some men full of the Holy Ghost to come serve the people. And so Philip was one of those that answered the call to wait on tables. And so a couple chapters later here in chapter 8, we see in verse number 4, this is one of those, this is Philip. And it says in verse number 4, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people," what does it say, "with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and taken with palsies, and were lame, were healed, and there was great joy in that city." Oh, thank God. Why? They were in one accord. One more. Look over at Romans chapter 15. One more instance. Romans chapter 15. Let's start with verse number 1 here. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached you fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." In the Message Bible, verse number 5 says, "May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other." You ever had somebody tell you, "Man, your mama ever look at you and say, I just wish you boys get along." I heard that a lot growing up. "I just wish you'd get along. I just wish you'd get along." Well, why is she saying that? Because it causes contention and confusion, and every evil work causes dissension in the house and causes strife and all these things. And so again, he says, so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us. So all of these scriptures, all of these come together, are saying that to be in one accord is to have the same love. It's to have the same mind. It's evidenced in answered prayer. It's evidenced in favor. It's evidenced in boldness. It's evidenced in miracles and healings. It's evidenced in love. It's evidenced in joy and peace. But then the other thing that you notice is it's evidenced in increase. Anytime they were in one accord, you find that the Bible says, "And great increase came to the body of Christ." More people came into the kingdom. Why? Because they were pulling together. They were on each other's side. Amen. 1 Peter 3:8 in the Common English Version says, "For you should agree and have genuine concern and love for one another." See, you'll see these things manifest. What are we talking about? Miracles, healings, salvations. You'll see these things manifest when people are in one accord, whenever they're in fact in unity. Look over at Ephesians chapter 4. Are you still with me? We're all on the same page, aren't we? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 16. Says, from whom the whole body, now watch this, fitly joined together. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. I saw this one time. You know, when the Bible says fitly joined together, literally in the Greek, it describes two people that are locked arm in arm in order to form a link so that there's no gaps in between them to give way to the devil. That's literally what that means. So from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase, now notice that word increase again, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify of the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard of him and have been taught by him as truth in Jesus. You know something, I pray every single morning. Every single morning, without a doubt, every single morning I pray that Cleveland Christian Fellowship, us, Cleveland Christian, that we are strengthened and made firm in the faith and that we increase day after day. I picked up on something years ago that Pastor Mark said as he prays for the church. He says, we have good crowds growing into great crowds. Why? Because we're all in one accord. Well, we just read so many scriptures that talk about that as they got on the same page, as they were like-minded, as they had one heart, what happened? People came to the body of Christ. People got saved. They saw miracles and results. So they had progress. So absolutely, yeah, good crowds going into great crowds. We are a growing, witnessing body of believers. That's us. That's us. Notice verse number 3, Ephesians 4, 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, peace is the glue that holds this thing together, right? I mean, we've all been in those situations where there's no peace, where there's contention. Again, where words were spoken. Well, sometimes we're in the midst of, you know, things get busy, you know. We've been busy here trying to, since April when the Hagans were here, even before the Hagans were here, we've been busy, you know, painting and construction and carpet and, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. And so, you know, there's been times when we didn't get home until late, 9, 10 o'clock, and we're both grumpy and grouchy and we're tired and, you know, words have been said, not Sheila. Sheila says it wasn't her. It was all me. And so, you've all been there. You're busy, you're tired, you know, you just want some sleep. And so words are said that you don't mean because you're just agitated. Well, listen, when that happens, there is no bond of peace. There is no glue to hold the whole thing together because peace is that glue, right? Amos puts it so well in Amos 3:3. He says, can two walk together except they be agreed? How many of you know there's peace in agreement, right? Can two walk together unless they be agreed? You know, the Lord can do more with a church of 100 people united than a church of 10,000. Come on now. In the Message Bible, in Amos 3:3, it says, do two people walk hand in hand if they aren't going in the same direction? If they're not going to the same place? Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you getting this tonight? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you're veterans, so you've got this already. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Notice, no divisions, perfectly joined together, same mind, same judgment. You know, the word, again, has a lot to say about how you ought to treat each other, how we ought to act around each other. Look over at Psalm 133. We'll see if we got time for this. This is one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. Psalm 133. Started with verse number 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant. The word pleasant is I was an artist in school. Went to college for art and studied art. You know, the word pleasant is an artistic word. You know, when you think of something being pleasant, it's talking about something that is pleasing to the eye. You know, it'd be like a landscape. You know, if you like to hang out by the lake, then you know it might be a picture of a guy by the name of Terry Redland used to do these pictures. Anybody ever seen a Terry Redland? You know, these are pictures of a lake and maybe a little campfire to the side and a cabin and calm water and maybe some hills behind it and maybe some deer running off to, you know, that's pleasant to look at. Versus an abstract picture with a lot of hard edges and bright colors and, you know, that's not pleasant. And so that word pleasant gives you that idea of peaceful and togetherness. And so how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. You know, it's said that the priest would wear a breastplate representing all the tribes. And so, you know, when it's talking about the 12 tribes and it's talking about the oil flowing down, you get this idea because whenever they didn't anoint people like we do. You know, we got this little bottle here that's got some anointing oil, and so we dip our finger in it and we touch somebody on the forehead. You know, they took anointing oil and they literally poured it on top of them. And so this oil would run down their face and down their beard and across this breastplate. And it would be a sign of anointing the tribes, the children of Israel. And so the Bible says it would run down, even down to the bottom of his skirts. And so it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. And as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there, now watch this, reading all of that to say this. What are we talking about? Where brethren dwell together in unity. Now watch this. For there, where a body of believers is unified, for there God commands the blessing. Did you get that? Where brethren dwell together in unity, where they're in one accord, where they're one mind, when they're in one heart, there God commands the blessing, even life, forevermore. Oh man, consider that. Consider that. Ephesians, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace is the glue that holds this all together. Glory to God. Everybody stand to your feet. Say, well, that's nothing new. No, I know it's nothing new. We got a mature group in here. You're here on a Wednesday. Amen. But I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves the importance of pulling together, the importance of being unified and being of one mind and avoiding strife. Man, I try to avoid strife at all costs. You know, sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes, you know, you get kind of pulled and sucked into it a little bit. But, you know, I don't like drama. You ask Sheila, I don't like drama. I avoid it. You know, if somebody tries to bring drama up to me, a lot of times I'll change the subject if at all possible, or I'll avoid it altogether. Now, I'm not perfect, right? Just like you're not perfect. But I tell you, we ought to avoid it. We ought to make sure that we stay in one accord and in one mind. Why? Because there God commands the blessing. I don't know about you, but I want all the blessing that I can get. Yes. Amen. And the way that happens is we stay unified. We stay walking in love towards one another. We stay like-minded of one heart and one mind. It's so important. I said it's so important. Glory to God. Father, we thank you so much for your word. As always, it's life-giving, life-changing to all who choose to act it, believe on it, put it to practice in their life. Glory to God. Father, you're faithful who promised. And you said in your word that you would command the blessing on those who would be unified. That's us, Cleveland Christian Fellowship. We are a group of unified individuals. And because we are unified with one heart, with one mind, pulling together, you said in your word that you would command the blessing here. So we want to be a part of that blessing. And we thank you for it. We trust you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. So glad you came tonight. Hey, don't forget about Sunday morning. Invite somebody. Invite somebody. Go pick them up. Take them to lunch. Amen. We have a good word that'll be for them. Amen. God bless you. We love you. You are dismissed. Amen.